tonight's Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 23. We'll just read one verse together tonight for the Bible study. Proverbs chapter 21, let's all read together on verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And Father, thank you for the wisdom in your word. Lord, help us to heed it. Help us tonight as we learn and look into your word. Lord, you meet needs in our hearts. And thank you again for your goodness to us. And as preacher mentioned, your watch care, your safety, your protection. Now, meet with us as we open your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
And Brother Penn, you said help us to heed it. I wasn't listening very well, or I was trying to listen very well. It says help us to eat it. And then I thought, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. So every now and then, something's just, it hits me funny, and that hit me funny when he said, help us to heed it. It just sounded like he said, help us to eat it. And that's so, thy words were found. That's right. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Tonight I want to bring a Bible study from, as you know, we're doing this, it's not a review, but it's called Lessons from Proverbs. And we want folks to be able to learn the different lessons. And I've said time and again, the entire book of Proverbs is nothing but lessons. I mean, it's not just little snippets of truth. There's so much of it that just goes together. And it really honestly does. And so sometimes the truth that you will hear will be something you've heard before from a different angle. You'll hear it from a different verse out of the book of Proverbs. Tonight's Bible study is entitled, Guarding Your Soul from Trouble. Let me say it again. Guarding your soul from trouble. Look again, if you would please, at verse 23, where it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. There's a way to keep yourself out of trouble. And the Bible says it's by guarding or keeping your mouth and your tongue. You know, as I wrote this down, I thought, you know, people talk too much. You realize that? They talk too much. It's been an age-old problem as long as there's been a human being on the face of the earth. As Solomon was teaching his son about how to be a good king, he taught him how important it was to control his mouth. And it says here, Solomon admonishes his son, and I put it in quotes because it's in the verse, to keep his mouth and his tongue. The word keep, if you want to write it in your Bible, this is an old truth. The word keep is a military term, and it means to guard or to place a garrison around it, a guard around it, someone marching in front of your mouth, so to speak, to keep you guarded from what goes in and what comes out. But then look at the words tongue and mouth in the same verse. They refer not to the physical tongue, but to what is said by them. Let me say it again. It says tongue and it says mouth, but the reference is to what they represent, the words that come out of a person's mouth. And obviously this means that most folks have a natural problem with saying too much. You hear, I said it at the very beginning, people just talk too much. It's a problem that is with so many people. And it's borne out in the New Testament passage in James chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 2 through 8. If you'll just listen or just write down the reference, that'll be fine. But in James chapter 3, verses 2 through 8, it says, for in many things we offend all. And notice the little word offend. Off end. We cause people to tumble with our words, to trip up, so to speak, because of how we speak or what we say. It says, for in many things we off end all. If any man off end or offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue. This, see, now here you had the comparisons that's being made. It's not a contrast, it's a comparison that's given. Even so, the tongue, like a rudder, like a helm, all these different things, like a bridle. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Let me just stop there. Your tongue can ruin your testimony. You've heard me use the phrase testifony. I learned that from C.T. Spear. Years and years ago, when we were living in Wyoming, he used the term a testifony. It's one of those things that stuck with me. A testifony is the same as a testimony. It's words that are used, but it's phony rather than genuine. It says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. The word evil, let me just remind you of what the word evil means. It means destruction. The tongue is a destructive force that every one of us have. And so there is a tremendous need today for believers to learn how to guard what they say. And I mean that, among believers. And sometimes we're just very loose with our language, and I don't necessarily mean cursing and swearing, though there are many believers today that see nothing wrong with cursing and swearing because it's the words of the word, it's the words that they use today. But it doesn't make them any less wrong or inappropriate or any less sinful. But many times, even believers can use their tongues in a destructive way to hurt someone and cause great damage because it is an unruly, unable to be ruled. It is an unruly, and say it again, unable to be ruled evil that's full of deadly poison. And so there are times when a person should just learn to keep his mouth shut. And that's very, very important. I found out a long time ago my opinion is not always needed. And sometimes I can just keep it to myself, unless it's going to be destructive that I keep silent, and so then I might say something. And so the truth of the matter is the Bible says that the tongue is like a poison and like a fire. And these are very strong words that the Bible uses. You know, God didn't mince words. He put in the Bible what he meant and meant what he said. And those words, every single word in our Bibles, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration, and every word in our Bible is there on purpose and with a purpose and has been inspired and perfectly preserved. God says our tongues are poison. God says they're unable to be ruled, and God says they're like a fire that burns out of control. So let's cover some familiar territory that needs repeating, okay? First of all, I will give you these points tonight. I have seven of them, so you can count them as we go. Number one, guard your mouth when you want pity. Guard your mouth when you want pity. Christians need to grow up and stop desiring people to feel sorry for them. And I say that because I've been in the ministry long enough to understand that there are some people that are, they just whine and cry because they want somebody to pity them. They don't have this. They don't have that. Somebody said this. Somebody said, they want pity. You should seek counsel, not pity. Counsel will help you. Pity will always defeat you. You will rarely get what you seek when you seek pity because everyone else is seeking pity too. So if you want to seek pity, the person you're talking to is probably wanting the same thing you want. You're just not going to get what you want. And learn to take your problems to the Lord instead of every listening ear. Literally, learn to take your leave it at the foot of the cross. Take it to Calvary and lay it down. And there's always somebody that's willing to throw a pity party for you. But it's better to go to the Lord every single time. And so, it is not important that everyone knows how hard you have it. Let me say it again. It is simply not important for everybody to know how difficult things are for you. It will be better if all of us would learn to have pity on others rather than desiring for others to have pity on us. And that is a biblical principle that is worth remembering. I'm going to say it one more time. It would be better if all of us would learn to have pity on others rather than desiring for others to have pity on us. Point number two, guard your mouth when you disagree with someone. Guard your mouth when you disagree with someone. We would not have the disharmony we have if we wouldn't talk back when we disagree. You know, I talk to people all the time. I really do. I know it seems like I live a solitary life because of my office is here, my ministry is here, and I have a home, but I get to talk to a lot of people, and I simply want to say this: not everybody that speaks to me agrees with me, or I agree with them, and I don't always have to say, I disagree with that. Why would I want to say that? I disagree. If what I said was right, it doesn't matter if I disagree with them or they disagree with me. We do not always have to give or tell our opinion. It's just simply not necessary. And unless your opinion is sought, you probably shouldn't give it. Can I just say that? Unless your opinion is sought, somebody asks you for your opinion, probably just shouldn't give it. There is not a person living with whom you will ever agree 100% of the time. Ever. It doesn't matter who it is. Husbands, wives, children, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, preachers, assistant pastors, deacons, church members, Sunday school teachers, you name it. And people are, when we were in Minnesota, I provided Sunday school material for all of our teachers in Sunday school. And I asked one teacher on a Sunday, I said, how did your lesson go? He said, oh, I didn't teach it. I didn't like it. So I taught something else. And I thought, well, that was exciting. I didn't hand it to you to change my mind on what I wanted our students to learn. But you know, the truth of the matter is they never came to me and never said, I don't like this lesson. I disagree with it. And they should have. And so I'm going to say it again. There is not a person living with whom you will agree 100% of the time. It just is not going to happen. So guard your mouth when you disagree with someone. You don't have to say, I disagree. Number three, guard your mouth when you have been accused. Guard your mouth when you have been accused. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands. Everybody in this room at one time or another has been accused of something by someone else. True or untrue, sincere or insincere, everyone has been accused. All of us live in glass houses, especially those of us in leadership. We just really do. And when you are falsely accused, you will want to disprove the accusation. That's just a natural tendency that we all have. But that is not your calling. Your calling is not to go stamping out every little fire that comes your way. I can't even begin to give you a list. I said it to Brother Penn many, many years ago about there's probably not a sin I've not been accused of since I've been in the ministry. And he started naming stuff that I haven't been accused of, which I'm glad he was able to name some things that I have not been accused of. But there's not too many things that I haven't been accused of. But I don't go around trying to disprove it. It's not my calling. I've got better things to do than to chase rumors and all the rest of it about myself. If someone wants to say something, your calling is to live for and help others, and you cannot help others if you are always going around defending number one. You can't do that. If you're defending you, you can't help anybody else. And I mean that seriously. Strength always helps weakness. You might want to write that down. Strength always helps weakness, not the other way around. Brother Hiles taught us that you'll not be able to lift others above the clouds if you're living under them. Brother Hiles was right. He had a lot of wisdom in these little quips, these little sayings that he would say from time to time. And this is one of the best ones that he gave for those who are in leadership, who have a sphere of influence. He said, you'll not be able to lift others above the clouds if you live under them, under the clouds. If you're accused, the burden of proof for your innocence is not on your shoulders. I'll say it again. If you're accused, the burden of proof is not on your shoulders, but on the shoulders of your accuser. People are going to believe what they want to believe, no matter what. So don't waste your breath. It's just not worth it. Now, I'm talking about accusing you personally. I'm not talking about somebody coming along and maybe accusing your children or accusing your husband or accusing your wife or whatever it might be. But when somebody accuses you, you don't have to go around and defend yourself and try to prove everybody wrong. If someone accuses you unjustly, learn to just keep your mouth shut and let your accusers prove themselves wrong. And they will. Truth rises to the top. Number four, guard your mouth when you're tempted to criticize. Guard your mouth when you are tempted to criticize. I don't know who taught this to us a long time ago. Maybe you'll remember. Maybe we remember where we heard it first. I don't know. But here's the quote. Weak minds talk about people. Average minds talk about things. And great minds talk about ideas. You know, hardly a statement has ever been made been truer than that. So you guard your mouth when you're tempted to be a critic or a backbiter. The critic is never considered one with a great mind. Let me just say that again. The critic is never considered to be one with a great mind. It's sort of like, don't you have anything better to do than to talk about others? And to, you know, it's just a waste of breath. Number five, guard your mouth when your advice is not sought. Guard your mouth when your advice is not sought. It's never wise to display your advice. Can I say that again? It's never wise to display your advice, but it's always wise to use your advice. It is never wise to display your advice, but it's always wise to use your advice. You know the old saying, you've heard it, you could finish it for me. Advice unsought for is seldom heeded. Advice unsought for is seldom heeded. So if someone wants your opinion, they will normally ask for it. Let me say it again. If someone wants your opinion, they will normally ask for it. Number six, guard your mouth when it will hurt somebody. Guard your mouth when it will hurt somebody. Sometimes things are just better left unsaid. But it's true. Well, not everything that's true needs to be said either. And it doesn't mean you have to lie. It just means you don't have to utter your whole mind. Solomon said that it is the man of discernment who knows when to be quiet. We studied the men of Proverbs many years ago. And a man of discernment knows when to be quiet. It's not that he knows when to speak. He just knows when not to speak. And what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? I gave you this many, many years ago. Knowledge is knowing what to say. Agreed. You know what to say. You know, what tool do I need to turn this screw? Well, you need a Phillips head or you need a flat one. Or anything else in life. When you have knowledge of a particular thing. But knowledge is knowing what to say, but wisdom is knowing when not to say it. Wisdom is knowing when not to say it, you see. And lastly, guard your mouth when you want a secret kept. Guard your mouth when you want a secret kept. The most wasted sentence in the world is this, quote, now, don't tell anybody this. This is our secret. Unless it's about my birthday. That, you know what I'm saying. Don't spoil somebody's birthday with knowing the secret. Like I did one time in Tennessee, when we went down to Tennessee, we had gotten at a garage sale an electric organ for my great granny. Oh, it was plastic. It had yellowed keys. And when you plugged it in, the air would blow through it, and then you could play the organ. We thought it'd be a great gift to give her. Well, when we got to Tennessee, I blurted out with my mouth, and I shouldn't have said it, about the organ that we got for, we called her Granny. She was my great-grandmother. And Polly Clark, she's been in heaven for years. And she's the one that looked at me, and she said, how long have you been saved? And I told her, she said, oh, that's great. She said, what's your name is again? She played a banjo, amazing woman. And the thing was, I blurted out and said, "We got an organ for Granny." She heard me say it. She was so excited. If I remember right, I think she put both hands up like this. Oh, she was so happy to get an organ till she saw it. I look back on that thinking, why did we buy that thing for her? I don't know. She could play it. She could play the piano. She had an old pump organ back in the back room, the kind you see in monster movies and old-time movies and things like the kind where you pump it with your feet and it's got the stops that you pull out and a big, heavy thing. But she wasn't strong enough to do the pedals. I don't know if she was strong enough to pull out the stops. But I ruined it because I spoke. It was supposed to be a secret. There are many ways to communicate secrets. Many ways. Number one, there's the telephone. Number two, there's the tell-a-friend. Number three, there's a tell-a-man. And number four, there's tell-a-woman. And number three, there's tell-a-teen. And then lastly, there's a tell-a-anyone. You know, you've heard the phrase, you can trust me, but you might not be able to trust the people that I tell. You know, there's really more truth in that silly little statement than you can possibly imagine. Here's a true testimony. Two mothers had preacher sons who had sinned and left their ministry because of their sins. One mother told four ladies in a prayer group. The other told no one. The latter son is back in the ministry to this day, and the former will never be back in the ministry. Was she telling the truth? Sure. Truth always. You know, truth hurts. Truth social. I mean, truth, the truth is so good. But it doesn't always need to be stated. And when she shared in a prayer group, I love brother so-and-so, but I want you to pray for him because he's got this problem. That's gossip, that's backbiting, and that is evil, and that is harmful. I knew a man in college who was that way. That was what he would do. He would say, "Well, I love brother Don. You know, he's a good brother. But he has such a problem with his mouth. He cusses, and I just am praying and asking my friends to help Brother Don not to cuss anymore." Though that was the way he shared prayer requests, and he did it numerous times with me. Nothing about you, Brother Don. Nothing about you, of course. But he might have had a fellow named Don that did have a problem with cussing. But when you share a prayer request, of course, that's not gossip. But it was. And it was backbiting, and it was evil, and it was harmful. Again, you can trust me, but you might not be able to trust the people that I will tell. Now, what I want to do is draw this Bible study to a close tonight. Solomon told his son that if he would guard his mouth and his tongue and get what he said, he would also guard his soul from trouble. Your mouth gets you in trouble. And that's what he's teaching here. He says, put a garrison around your mouth and around your tongue and around the words that you say. He says, you'll save your whole soul from a whole bunch of trouble. And he meant it. And it was good advice. And the lesson here is simple. If you don't learn to control your mouth, you will invite troubles into your life. That's the way it is. You don't need to run your mouth all the time. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. You could add that to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and just write it in the margin. Say, God gave it to you, and somebody will believe it. And just say, a time to speak and a time to be quiet. It says, if you do not know the difference between the two, just be quiet, and folks will think that you're wise. And isn't that what the Bible also teaches? Even a fool is thought to be wise when he doesn't speak. And so, The thing I want us to learn tonight, it was just simply applying what the truth is here. And, of course, to guard, put a garrison around your tongue and your mouth, the words that you speak. Guard your mouth when you want pity. Guard your mouth when you disagree with someone. Guard your mouth when you have been accused. Guard your mouth when you are tempted to criticize. Guard your mouth when your advice is not sought. Guard your mouth when it will hurt somebody, and guard your mouth when you want to want a secret kept. And that's the Bible study tonight. And I want to take you back to that verse. What it's saying here is very simple. Keep your mouth and tongue, because when you do, it'll keep you out of trouble. If you guard what you say, it'll keep you out of trouble. And no one can accuse you of saying it if you never said it.